Thank you so much for letting us be here this morning to be a part of a community that wants to honor you, to love you, to follow your son. Father, help us to do that in the best way possible. And Father, I think about our culture and where we live. It is so easy to get inundated and to become confused in the world that we live in. But Father, help us to hold on to your word, which is truth and which is life, so we may share it with others. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for Jesus. It's in his name that we pray. Amen. You all may not know this, but in the Federal Bureau of Investigations, that's what this is. Oh, if anybody saw what the next slide is, what is the largest portion of the Federal Bureau of Investigations, the FBI? Look, did you know that? Fraud and Counterfeit Department. That's pretty big. What? It's about guns. It's actually about
insurance.
It's about money. Yeah. Being able to, like, so much money changes hands. And so there's this thing that the FBI, don't leave. Okay. Oh. All right. They've made a terrible choice. And you're so part of the counterfeit department of the FBI is they must know what money feels like, looks like, because they want to know what the real thing is in case they run across the fake thing. It'd be too difficult to come up with every type of counterfeit or fraudulent currency. It would be too difficult. So instead, what they supply everyone with is actual currency, and to allow people to know what it's like. So if they are fed a counterfeit, come on in. You are just in time. You have no idea how in time you are, because I'm about to hand you all money, like real live money. And I asked Jerry. Nope, too bad. I told him not to leave. It was a really simple thing. I'm going to hand you all money, and you all are going to feel it. And this is going to be yours. And whoever said going to church doesn't pay. I was going to let someone hand this out, but I thought, oh, what if I can't trust you?
Yeah,
it doesn't, in this economy, it doesn't go far. I don't want to, that one's all kind of cheap. Want you all to have the best paycheck. This is yours. And here's the, oh, you all made it back in time. All right. So I'm, don't spend it all in one place. Not legit. You're welcome. Oh, look, that was a thank you. Because of that, you're going to be my first. This is just for being in the room. All right. Okay. Everybody thinks that ministers just want your money. Oh, man. Okay. So here's the deal. Oh, ladies, you came back. I tried to tell you, don't leave. Don't leave. Be excited. All right. So here's the deal. I want you all to be well acquainted with your funds. Well acquaint yourself. What we're going to do here is another object lesson here in a second. What am I going to do with all that? All those ones. Whew. I asked Jared. I said, what's the possibility? He said a million or 20. So do I have a million ones there? I don't know. Do I own a million ones? Yes, sir.
Should I memorize a serial number just in case?
No, you don't need to memorize the serial number. But here's the deal. Oh, look at that. Would you like to participate in the object lesson?
Sure.
Oh, man, I'm running low. I'm just kidding, I'm not. Thanks for coming. All right, so I want you all to become well acquainted with your funds. So with this fraud investigation and counterfeit money, no one else comes in, just kidding. There's some techniques that they have in order to figure out what is real. Now you all are texting people to come in. Just kidding. Come here. There you go. So become acquainted with it. Don't fold it up. I mean, you can fold it up. I don't care. Do whatever. It's your money. But you want to become well acquainted with it. And this is what they do with the FBI. In order, if you ever want to know what is, they have a way to do this. Now, there's a story that goes along with it that there's a guy, he wanted to join the FBI, but what he didn't realize is that the largest department with the FBI is the fraud and counterfeit department. And so he goes and he had the dream in Quantico, and really being a part about this great organization, only to find out that he's going to be like looking at money. He thought that this isn't what I signed up for. I wanted to be like counterterrorism. I wanted to be like protecting the president. I wanted to be doing this. So he goes to the first session for him to figure it out. And they sit there and they said, day one, this is what we're going to teach you about looking at counterfeit and fraudulent money. The first thing, you need to touch it. You need to be well acquainted with it. What does it feel like in your hands? You should be able to figure out if it's real money based on touching it. It's probably one of the hardest things for someone to duplicate is the feel of money. All right? And they did this for the first whole session. Just a whole day of touching it, making sure that they knew what it felt like. The next, hey, what we're going to do is you got to tilt it, right? Now hold it up to the light. You should be able to see some interesting identifying marks within it. Kind of tilt it up to the light. Looking and really study it. If you ever run into a problem, you should be able to look in, okay, is this legitimate money? Now, the larger the bills, the more that they kind of store into it. They kind of put a little filament in there in order to see. They have holographic, the $100 bills have holographic images on there to let you know if it's real or not. A whole day of this, and a third day. Okay, look at it. See it. What pictures, what images, how does it look when you perceive it? Look at it intently. Now, this is the third day, and the guy who thought he was like joining the most prestigious, you know, investigative unit in the United States, he's frustrated. He goes up to the insurance. He says, okay, when am I going to get counterfeit stuff? When am I going to be able to knock down doors and see what's going on? Look, if you know what the real thing is, if you know what the real thing is, you won't be confused when you get the fake thing. And if you know what's actual, you won't get confused. And then finally, look through it. Once again, there's images that can be in there. So I have in these bags, I'm going to have some in these bags. But I want you all, I'm going to just pick people at random. You can't look in the bag because whether you believe it or not, Bill would be easily be able to tell what was happening. I don't want to break any laws. So you can only feel it. And yeah, I don't want to break any laws with an object lesson. So I'm going to choose some people by reaching in and feel only. Can you tell me if it's real or fake? Yeah, I'll let you do that. That'd be fine. That'd be fine. All right, so someone over here was super kind to me. You said thank you. Is that right? Come on up. Pick a bag. I'll let you have first choice of a bag. It's random. I don't know. All right. So I'm going to open it up. And you try it. Just put your hand in and tell me if you know if it's real or fake. Okay, is that your guess? Not real. Pull it out. Ah, what could you tell about it?
It felt like it was thicker.
Felt like, yeah.
Heavier than this.
Okay, very cool. All right, you get your paper and your dollar. Okay, next person. All right, I'll let you get your sister. That was very kind of you. Pick a bag, any bag. All right, ready? Put your hand in. Real or fake?
Fake.
Oh, what made you think it was fake?
Because
because of the texture. Okay. All right, I'm going to have three more people come up. One, two, three. Sounds good. Come on up. Right there. Come on. We're going to, you pick your bags. Try to speed this up a little bit because I got a lot of material to cover. Perfect. All right. All right, I need some guesses. Fake. You think yours is fake? Oh man. Okay, look in. Oh, don't look in. Okay, what do you think? Right. Pull your hands out. You did. So you got a piece of paper and you got construction paper dollar. It's pretty good. It's a little bit more real. All right, you can sit down. That tells you that there's no other real. Who has a fake? Up, let the class see it. Some of these dollars are real. Some of them are extremely fake. Like this one. Kind of the thing about the world. This is kind of the thing about the world. Sometimes it gives you a counterfeit bill that's easy to detect. And you're easy to say, okay, that's absolutely not real. I know that that's not real. Except, what would happen if the whole world told you that this was real? Do you know that they've done psychological experiments and they'll actually walk into a room, they'll say, this piece of paper is green. And everyone in the room will agree with the even if it's red. Because that's how subjective we are to the things that are around us. And so it's easy for us to say, oh, I obviously know that this isn't money. But if everybody started saying that it was money, you'd start to believe it yourself. Even this, oh man, this looks pretty authentic. Oh, it's a little different size. Oh, there's nothing on the back. But people can be easily fooled if everybody is going along with it. The object of the lesson is, how could you tell what was real and what wasn't? For those of you who participated, how can you tell what was real? Okay, a little bit more flexible than just a piece of paper. The actual texture of paper money versus what is, you know, this although it's soft enough, it's not as that cloth feel. Cloth. Yeah, it's not actual paper. The other question is, how easy is it, once you, with enough practice, how easy is it to know what is real and what is fake? This tells us a lot of us, like, dependent on to know what's real, to actually manipulate, to feel what, to be immersed in and to know what is real. Look at this, and depending on who you ask, if you Google it right now, there's these moral issues, and it can be a wide range of what is real and what is not real. You look at, there's no consensus. Some will say, oh man, I feel like I should give him something. What do y'all? Everybody raise your hand. What do you think? I feel like, okay, come here. Even though you're a little behind, everybody else got a dollar. You want a dollar? What? Oh, now you get a dollar. You know, my money's good here. All right. Man, all right. Sounds good. So you have this question that's circulating our society. How many genders are there?
Two.
The world will say that there's up to 145. General consensus, if you Google it right, 81, give or take, depending on how people sort this out. So what is, what is counterfeit? What is real? If the whole world is saying that it's this number, how do we know what is real? So it's obvious that there is something that we need to be able to. Chapter 1, 27 said, so God created human beings in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female, he created them. And so the whole world says it is this way. And God's word says it's another way. Which brings us to a truth that we have to unpack. Ephesians 6:12, for we are not fighting against blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. This becomes hard. Because if I look at this and I say that, what are we fighting against? It really, if I were fighting against something that was, that I could see tangibly and say, okay, this is what I'm actually fighting against. Being able to put my thoughts down and to know what is real. But so often these are conceptual. So often what the world is telling us is stuff. Is this, like, what's reality? What is this? It feels kind of close to real. So often what we're participating in are things that this says right here. We are participating in this doesn't do that on the screen. That's fine. In the unseen world. The unseen, the areas of life tangible. So it becomes a question. How do you fight a war when you don't know who or what you are fighting? How do you fight a war when it's not so easy to know what is counterfeit and what is real? Think about this. Isn't this the goal of, like, most fictional stories? You get to this point where, like, if you have the One Ring, you can turn yourself invisible. If you have Harry Potter's invisibility cloak, you want to be invisible because it's hard to fight that which you can't see. And you have war that's being waged with many enemies we cannot see. And so how do you fight that war? What we see is this term. The war that we are fighting is an influential war. Now, this is kind of a common thing in our day and age, right? At some point, want to be an influencer. What does an influencer do? Ladies and gentlemen, what does an influencer do? Okay. Without using the word in the definition, what does an influencer do? Persuasive. And how do they persuade you?
They persuade you by saying, look how great I am.
Look how great I am. Usually they look doing something that is fun. And hey, look at us. We just got this brand new coffee mug. You want one too? I'm doing this for the camera, right? That's the idea. Okay? Yeah, so not only are they selling a product, but oftentimes selling something else.
If you can make something or someone seem better or good, then products that they endorse will look better.
Man.
For sake of parallel structure, gooder.
Yeah, gooder. Yeah, You are selling yourself, but it also sells the product because you are associated with that. That's a pretty good point.
But they don't add everything, like, every part of the story.
Yeah, you only see the best of the best. You don't see what the rest of the life is like. And this is where we're at. Because we live in a culture where we are heavily influenced by things that are unseen. Heavily influenced by a world and a realm that's difficult for us to say what's real. And so we're a snapshot of this here, a reel over here, maybe a 5-second TikTok here, and we start to base our opinions and our thoughts on things that are so fleeting and yet difficult to perceive. And so we work into this realm of who is influencing who. How do we influence what we should be doing? And this is the same tactic that we see in spiritual warfare. This is exactly what we see. And we looked at it earlier today, that instrumental temptation that happens with Eve and the serpent in the garden. This idea of, I'm going to tell you something that is just different enough that I will influence you. You know, it would have been a far different story. And let's read through, because I like looking at the Bible. If you have your Bibles, look, if you read the screen. It's a little harder print. Go through it again. Serpent was the of all the wild animals the Lord God had made. This is going to be on page 3 of your text. Open up your Bibles, page 3. Maybe it's page 2, page 4, depending. The serpent was the shrewdest of all the wild animals the Lord God had made. One day he asked the woman, "Did God really say you must not eat of the fruit from any of the trees in the garden?" "Of course we may eat the fruit from the trees in the garden," the woman replied. Look at that, already starting that influence. Did he really say that? Is that really what happened? Verse 3, "It is only the fruit from the tree in the middle of the garden that we are not allowed to eat. God said, you must not eat it or even touch it. If you do, you will die." "You won't die," the serpent replied to the woman. "God knows that your eyes will be open as soon as you eat it, and you will be like God, knowing both good and evil." The woman was convinced. She saw that the tree was beautiful and its fruit looked delicious. And she wanted the wisdom it would give her. So she took some of the fruit and ate it. Then she gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it too. Here's the strategy of Satan, merely to influence you. Notice and how different this text would be if serpent, who apparently falling on his into the next section, what the serpent said, "Eat this. Eat it right now." It would have been a far different story, because I'm pretty sure everybody would say, whoa, I'm not doing that. How interesting it is that he's able to just say some really influential things. Trick Eve. Did God really say? What will happen is, yeah, you'll be set free, your eyes will be open. Those are the things that the serpent is able to say, the great enemy, the adversary of mankind. Look, these are, that's very influential. Did he really say that? Is that really what goes on? These are the same tactics that we see today. Did God really say that there's only two genders? Is that really what he said? Didn't he say that there's like a spectrum of light and humanity? Wouldn't it be more sensical to think that there's so many different types of people who have variations of skin and hair colors? Wouldn't it be more sensible to think that there's this wide spectrum of humanity out there? Did God really say this? Free to just be this other way. Wouldn't that seem freer? More liberty if you lived in this other way? Let me tell you what reality really is. I'm going to open a whole different way of looking at the world. I'm going to open them up, because what you're seeing is a very narrow view. And you can see that these influential statements, on the surface, they seem like, wow, how wise and how clever the serpent is. How wise and how clever our adversary is to influence us to go one way or another. Let's ask these questions. Why are these influential statements? Why are these so effective? Okay, go. They make you question yourself. I can't be right. No, how can I be right? Oh, great answer. Those answers give you the advantage. It kind of puffs you up, kind of makes you feel better. Why else is this influential?
Did God actually, like, it makes you question what you know.
That's absolutely right. Did God say that? I can't remember. Well, maybe he didn't say that exactly. Okay. Is God really good? Maybe that's the most devastating thing that our adversary says. Is God really good? Now, the world will try to convince us otherwise. The world will want to say, who is good? Well, we are the pinnacle of good. But we are not. And time again throughout Scripture, we see that every thought and inclination of man's heart, this is after the flood narrative, every thought and inclination in a man's heart is continually evil. God knows that about us. God is good and we are not. What can we tell about Adam and Eve's desires at this point? The influencer, our adversary. What does the adversary highlight in this conversation? What is the influence that the adversary wants? Yeah, you'll know as much as God. In fact, if you get to that point, you will be God. You will be deified. Whoa. Yeah.
So, Adam's desires at this point becomes, but it's not only that, it's that they're not allowed to do that they wanted
to. Hey, you can't do this, but maybe you really want to do this. And so, it gives me a free pass, so to speak. I don't really know who this serpent is, but I can cross the line.
They want to have the wisdom of God, and they want to be a lot like God.
They want to have the wisdom and to be like God.
How much of you guys remember when you were a little kid and your parents told you not to do something, like, I'm going to do it anyways. Don't touch the stove that's hot. Touch the stove and you get burnt.
Man. Just because, see what it's like. Just because, I know they told me not to, but really, I'm going to try it anyway. Not much has changed from to us now. We are still wired, I believe, basically the same. We desire those things. We want these things in our lives. And in fact, if we could, we would all want to be, if not like God, we would like to be God, meaning we have control over our sphere of influence. We would like to be able to manipulate our world around us. Jesus is going to go on to expand on this conversation. And this is what he says. He's having a discussion with the religious leaders, and this is what he kind of lays down the line. Because he's going to talk about the adversary in a way that helps us to kind of grasp a different reality. John 8:34-35. Jesus replied, I tell you the truth. Everyone who sins is a slave of sin. A slave is not a permanent member of the family, but a son is a part of the family forever. So if the Son sets you free, you are truly free. Yes, I realize that you are descendants of Abraham, and yet some of you are trying to kill me because there is no room in your heart for my message. Jesus told them, or I am telling you, is this a different version that's up there? 42? Oh, it skips on down. All right. Jesus told them, if God were your father, you would love me. Why can't you understand what I am saying? Is because you can't even hear that he does. He was a murderer from the beginning. What is going on? Something jumbled up. All right, just open the Bible and read it. Don't worry about the screen. Okay. All right, jump back up to verse 37. Yes, I realize John 8:34. Jump in. Something got jumbled in the translation. But God's word is always there. And Jesus replied, I tell you the truth. Everyone who sins is a slave of sin, member of the family, but a son is part of the family forever. If the son sets you free, you are truly free. Yes, I realize that you are descendants of Abraham, and yet some of you are trying to kill me because there is no room in your heart for my message. My father, but you are following the advice of your father. To the whole crowd, they get upset. They're going to know that they are children of Abraham. And this is what they said. Verse 39, our father is Abraham, they declared. No, Jesus replied, for if you are really the children of Abraham, you would follow his example. What is the example of Abraham? Listening and obeying God. That's the example of Abraham. Verse 40, instead you are trying to kill me because I told you the truth, which I heard from God. Abraham never did such a thing. So you are imitating your real father. And they replied, we aren't illegitimate children. God himself is our true father. Jesus told them, if God were your father, you would love me because I have come to you from God. I am not here on my own, but he sent me. Why can't you understand what I'm saying? It's because you can't even hear me. You are children of your father. And this is finally when he tells them who they are. You are children of your father, the devil. And you love to do the evil things he does. He was a murderer from the beginning. He has always hated the truth because there is no truth in him. And when he lies, he is consistent with his character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. So when I tell the truth, you naturally don't believe me. We start to realize that there is a pattern. Jesus tells the religious leaders that they are a slave to sin because they are following the inclination father of lies. The greatest influencer up to that point, after that point, the greatest influencer becomes Jesus. But up to that point, the greatest influencer in the world is Satan, constantly lying to humanity to pull them away from God. And he says that these are the traits of our adversary, of the devil. He's a liar. He hates the truth. He's a murderer. He wants to destroy humanity. And those who cling to Jesus, even the leaders of that, the religious leaders, these are the guys that, you know, the type of people that come to a lectureship on a weekend. The religious leaders of that, so far, can't even decipher what is true anymore. And I think about our understanding of what is counterfeit. Are we able to know what is true? Are we able? So there's some ground rules. We got to know what is true. We got to know what is true. That means we got to know God's word. That we need to understand what is the opposite of God's character. There are some things that God has. And if you see even an instant of this character in the people around you or in what they are expounding, you know that Proverbs 16 through 19. Six things the Lord hates. Seven things he detests. A lying tongue. Hands that kill the innocent. A heart that plots evil. Feet that refuse to do wrong. A witness who pours out lies. A person who sows discord within a family. He says it's easy to see the things that are against God because these are the things God hates. There are things which are complete opposite of God's character. And it's pretty clear to spot those things as number one, they say things like, is God really telling you the truth? Can the Bible be right? If that's the message that someone starts with, you know that the next things out of their mouth are counterfeit to what God wants you to do. Does it matter what God says? These are clear giveaways that the message is false. But there's also things to be aware of. These type of people that truth. Hate others. They may say that they are kind and accepting, but if you hear within their tone that they hate someone else, even if their opinions merely differ from them, the person that is against God. If they resort to violence, even if there is a social issue that needs to be highlighted, if they're using violence in order to prove a point, God says that he detests such things. create division within a community. They are pitting people against each other, creating division. God abhors. He wants that to be. Something is counterfeit, as it will leave no room for God for it. And so if you, in your conversations, and I wish I could go every social issue that we experience in the world, but there's just far too many. And so in the time that is allotted, this is indicators of things that are against God. And it's up to you to decipher that within your own lives, to hear the message of people around you, and to know, are they lying? Do they twist the truth? Are they God's? That's an easy indicator. Do they wish to do harm? Or are they hateful of other people? That's what they're Then you know that that is evil within their hearts. If they resort to violence, if they create division, if they say that there's no room for God in this discussion, that's easy. It's easy for us to be able to decipher if it is a counterfeit message or if it is the truth. There's a multiple moral failings within the world. And even if we had a year, I would not that the world is counter to what God wants. Romans chapter 1, verse 30, he's going to put like this. Oh, the people are backstabbers, haters of God, insolent, proud, boastful. And this is the thing. Stove, you're going to find touch the stove. So it's impossible for me to even know what's going to be the next new thing that people invent to go against God. But I can know that there's nothing new under the sun and that God's word will prevail. So there's a couple things that we need to what is good for humanity? And those are the things that pertain to God. I know that if we hold on to what is good, our lives will prevail. That takes a lot of study. It takes a lot of inward reflection to know what is truly good. And second, we have to allow. We'll see what is real, the more they will know what is counterfeit. The more people know that our lives contain truth, will know what is false. We kind of have to stand up for truth. We have to say, I'm going to be the influencer. I'm going to say, is that really what you think? Do you really think? Do you really feel that? Tell me how that can be true. Tell me. Ask the questions. Influence. We say something. I know that can be hard, especially in your lives. I know that is hard. Military for 8 years. People live a certain way, and they want you to participate in that same way. And you have to say, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to say something because it's true. And so maybe you're going to curse and demean people and tear people down. But I know that that's not right. And so I won't. I know you're going to go drink every weekend and you're going to destroy your liver and you're going to make really questionable decisions. But me, I know that that's not right. I know that that is counterfeit life. It is not real. And so for me, I'm not going to do that. You have to say something in those moments and know what is real and know what is wrong. I want you to be asking yourselves, this is Jesus' temptation. We're going to skip that. Not that it's bad, but go to Matthew chapter 4. Imagine what it would be like if you lived the truth. Would you better or worse if you live the truth. Perhaps you would suffer more persecution, but your life will be better. Time and time again, I have borne that out in my own life. You know what happened in my workplace? When I asked people, hey, look, here, we're not going to curse. We're not going to demean people. We're not going to tear them down. Do you know what happened? We would win awards because people were excited to come into the workplace. People were willing to bend over backwards for the people that worked around them because they knew it was a safe. Because they knew that, hey, before we would walk into the workplace and I could be cussed up one side and down the other. I could be destroyed and humiliated because that's what the military is. But you know what? After I sit up, that's what it's going to be like around here. It changed the culture. People started to value within themselves. People started to stand up and say, I'm not going to let that happen with other people. Now, maybe they changed that behavior after I left, or maybe even if I left the room. But around me, people knew what the truth was. What would your life change if you were determined to be that truth and to honor Jesus with your life? About your life, if that would happen? What would happen if you stood up and you going to participate in those things that are wrong? Now, once again, this may be friends. This may be one of those things that if you say something when it stands opposed to the truth, that may hurt someone's feelings. Us, make sure that at least you don't bend the truth. To know what is real, to not let the counterfeit stuff of the world get in your way. I guarantee your life will be better because of it. Thank you. I think that's time. 5